It is truly a blessing to be gathered here today, wherever you are or however you're tuning in. We want to warmly welcome you to the Central Study Hour. I hope you felt the Lord's blessing throughout this week. His goodness never fails and His mercies are new every morning. Today, let's count those blessings around us, our families, our health, our church, and even for our trials and tribulations that make us strong. Let us sing the hymn with title Showers of Blessings, SDA Hymnal number 195. Let's sing all stanzas.
There shall be showers of blessing. This is the promise of love. There shall be seasons refreshing, sent from the Savior above. Showers, showers of blessing, showers of blessing we need. Mercy drops round us are falling, but for the showers we plead. There shall be showers of blessing, precious reviving again. Over the hills and the valleys, sound of abundance of rain. Showers, showers of blessing, showers of blessing we need. Mercy drops round us are falling, but for the showers we plead. There shall be showers of blessing, send them upon us, O Lord. Grant to us now a refreshing, come and now honor thy word. Showers, showers of blessing, showers of blessing we need. Mercy drops round us are falling, but for the showers we plead. There shall be showers of blessing, oh that today they might fall. Now as to God we're confessing, now as on Jesus we call. Showers, showers of blessing, showers of blessing we need. Mercy drops round us are falling, but for the showers we
to invite you, if you have a hymn request that you would like to share with us so we can sing together on the upcoming Central Study Hour, please visit our website at saccentral.org, click contact us, then scroll down to CSH hymn request. Let us know your name, your email address, and the title of the hymn. We'll be happy to sing your hymn request on the upcoming Sabbath. One of the Lord's greatest blessings is our home and our families. When Jesus dwells in our hearts, His love fills our home and with peace and joy. Let us be reminded to keep Jesus at the center of our home and our relationship as we sing together Love at Home as the hymnal number 652. Let's sing all stanzas.
Peace and blessings.
Dear Heavenly Father, we're so grateful for all the blessings that you've given to us and for your love, Lord. And may your love will be the center of our relationship and our home. At this moment, Lord, please open our hearts and our mind. And please bless Pastor Mark, who will lead us in our study lesson today. May the Holy Spirit speak through him. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Central Study Hour today will be presented by Pastor Mark Pashon, lesson number 8, Giants of Faith from Joshua and Caleb. I hope you have a blessed study.
Good morning and happy Sabbath. I would like to greet everyone that is present here at Sacramento Central Seventh-day Adventist Church, as well as those who are tuning in today from all around the world. Welcome to Central Study Hour. This quarter, we have been studying Lessons of Faith from Joshua, and today we are studying lesson number 8, entitled Giants of Faith from Joshua and Caleb. Now, if you would like a free CD or DVD of this lesson study, please call 916-457-6511. Our offer number is C202547. Or you can email us at csh@saccentral.org. Just include your name, address, and other relevant information, and we'll be happy to send you a free copy. Let us begin with our memory text. Our memory text today is found in Hebrews chapter 13, looking at verse 7. Hebrews 13 and verse 7. And this version is the ESV version. Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 7 says, "Remember your leaders, those who spoke to you the word of God. Consider the outcome of their way of life and imitate their faith." Isn't that a blessing? Remember your leaders. How many of us here today could think of someone in your past that was very influential, that was a leader to you, someone who spoke to you in many ways just by the way they lived? Amen? I'm sure there's a lot of us here today that could think of at least one person that was very influential because they were either a man of God, a woman of God, and their life imitated the life of Jesus Christ. And the Bible here tells us in Hebrews 13, verse 7, to remember your leaders. And I would add to this, pray for your leaders. Amen? Because all of our leaders, we all go through things. And there is no perfect leader except Jesus. But I would encourage you to pray for your leaders. I want to begin by reading in Sabbath afternoon. It says here, "Every parent knows that their children learn by example, don't they? How many parents have fretted over seeing their children follow their bad traits instead of their good ones? Whatever our age, we find it easier to do wrong than to do right. It's just part of what it means to be fallen beings. And here is a quote from Romans 7:15. Paul is saying, "For what I will to do, that I do not practice, but what I hate, that I do." Now, who can't relate to this? You see, from birth, humans are shaped by the power of example. We learn to do the most basic things in life, such as walking, talking, or exercising, or expressing our emotions by imitating those that are closest to us. And as adults, we still need role models in our lives. And even if they are not perfect, we can admire and emulate those spiritual traits that made them giants of faith. This week, we'll take a deeper look into the personal examples of two giants of faith. They are Caleb and Joshua. What is it that made them stand out in their generation and play a key role in the life of God's people during one of the most crucial periods of Israel's history? As we transition to Sunday, we're going to be reading from Numbers chapter 13, verses 6, and then verses 30 to 32. So if you have your Bibles with you, turn with me to Numbers chapter 13. We're going to be taking a look at who was Caleb and what was his place among the people of God. And we're going to look and highlight the faithfulness of Caleb, and we're going to try to apply what practical lessons can we learn from Caleb and his faithfulness to God. If you're there in Numbers 13, verse 6, I'm going to start reading. The Bible says here, verse 6, Numbers 13, verse 6, "From the tribe of Judah, Caleb, the son of Jephunneh." Now, it's interesting to note that the tribe of Judah is very important. Why, you might ask? Because it is the lineage through which the Messiah was prophesied to come. So there is correlation between Jesus and Caleb. And we're also going to look at correlation between Joshua as well. But that is a very interesting point. Now, how many of us know what the name Caleb means? You see, in the Hebrew, Caleb simply means dog. How many of us have had a dog before? All right, I see a few hands. Perhaps you have had a dog before, or maybe not. But dog in the Old Testament had a negative connotation towards it. Dogs in the Old Testament was normally a negative connotation. It had a negative meaning. But it is normally used in a negative context in the Old Testament, but this word is used to express a servant's courage, tenacity, faithfulness, and loyalty. How many of us have ever heard of dogs being loyal before, right? There are dogs that are very loyal to their master, and in this instance, as we read this verse about Caleb, Caleb was loyal to his master, God in heaven. Amen. Now, let's look at verses 30 through 32, Numbers 13, verses 30 to 32. The Bible says, "Then Caleb quieted the people before Moses and said, 'Let us go up at once and take possession, for we are well able to overcome it.'" It's interesting to note that Caleb here was very bold. Caleb told the 10 spies to literally hush their mouths. In other words, to be silent. Caleb even said, "Let us go up," meaning that he still believed in God and still believed in them despite their doubting. You see, friends, a leader is someone who always looks beyond someone's faults. A leader is someone who believes in us despite our doubts and our shortcomings. Verse 31, Numbers 13, verse 31, "But the men who had gone up with him said, 'We are not able to go up against the people, for they are stronger than we.'" You see, a bad leader always looks at their circumstances. A bad leader always sees themselves as inferior to those around us, to those around them. Verse 32, and they gave the children of Israel a what kind of a report? A evil or a bad report of the land which they had spied out, saying, this is what they said, the land through which we have gone as spies is a land that devours its inhabitants. And all the people whom we saw in it are men of great stature. Now, a bad leader always gives a bad report. And I want you to notice the complaint, the specific complaint of the 10 spies. They said that the land devours its inhabitants. The second complaint was that the people whom we saw in it are men of great stature. Later on in the lesson, we're going to see that they liken themselves as grasshoppers, meaning small insects compared to giants. They basically took their eyes off of God and they looked at themselves as, who are we? We are grasshoppers compared to these giants in the land. And basically, they had forgotten the promise of God, that God would say, I will give you the promised land. I will take you to the promised land and I will let you go into it, right? And you will capture it. Let's go to the next verses, Joshua chapter 14 and verses 6 and 14. Joshua chapter 14, verses 6 and 14. It says here, then the children of Judah came to Joshua in Gilgal, and Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, the Kenizzite, said to him, you know the word which the Lord said to Moses, the man of God, concerning you and me in Kadesh Barnea. It's interesting, Caleb and Joshua knew and understood the word of the Lord. That's what makes a great leader. They understood the word of the Lord. Now jump down to verse 14. It says here, Hebron therefore became the inheritance of Caleb, the son of Jephunneh the Kenizzite, to this day, because he wholly followed the Lord God of Israel. Notice here in this verse that Caleb inherits a land called Hebron, and Caleb wholly followed the Lord God of Israel. Later on, we're going to see what does it mean to wholly follow the Lord God of Israel. Now, I want to read here in Sunday's lesson. It says here, consider these important Israelite leaders, contemporaries of Joshua and Caleb. Shamua, Shapat, Igal, Palti, Gadiel, Gadi, Amiel, Sether, Nabi, and Geuel. Do these names sound familiar to any of us? Probably not. But do you know the meaning of their names are most likely positive? Some of their names means rejoicing in God. Some of their names means to persevere in darkness or in troublesome times. Some of the names, they're actually beautiful names. But what's ironic about these names is that the reason why we don't know these names is because perhaps they did not live up to their name. They did not live up to their calling. They did not live up to the name that was given them. And in fact, of the 12 spies, how many of the 12 gave a good report? There was only two, and they are Joshua and Caleb. Now, it's interesting, we go to Monday's lesson. It's entitled, Give Me This Hill Country. We're going to be reading Joshua chapter 14, verses 6 through 14. If you have your Bibles, Joshua chapter 14, we're looking at verse 6 through 14. It tells a powerful and a wonderful story. And I'm going to start with verse 6. It says here, then the children of Judah came to Joshua in Gilgal, and Caleb the son of Jephunneh the Kenizzite said to him, you know the word which the Lord said to Moses, the man of God, concerning you and me in Kadesh Barnea. Verse 7, I was 40 years old when Moses, the servant of the Lord, sent me from Kadesh Barnea to spy out the land, and I brought back word to him as it was in my heart. How old was Caleb at this time when he spied the land? He was 40 years old. Now, we're going to see later on when he hits at the age of 85 that he finally enters into the land. So there was some time before he could enter the land. Why? Because there was 10 spies that gave bad reports. Now, it goes on, verse 8. Nevertheless, my brethren who went up with me made the heart of the people melt, but I wholly followed the Lord my God. I want you to pay attention to that phrase, wholly followed the Lord my God. Verse 9. So Moses swore on that day, saying, surely the land where your foot has trodden shall be your inheritance and your children's forever, because you have wholly followed the Lord my God. Here it's being repeated again, that phrase, wholly followed. Verse 10, and now behold, the Lord has kept me alive, and he said these 45 years, ever since the Lord spoke this word to Moses while Israel wandered in the wilderness, and now here I am this day. How old is he now? He is 85 years old. There was some time that passed before Caleb entered into the land. And verse 11, as yet I am as strong this day as on the day that Moses sent me. Just as my strength was then, so now is my strength for war, both for going out and for coming in. Did the Lord give Caleb strength, even though he was of old age? Yes. Why was he given strength? Because of that repeated phrase, because Caleb had wholly followed the Lord God. Amen? When we, making this practical now, when we follow the Lord God wholly with our whole hearts, do you think that God would bless us? Amen? God would bless us the more that we follow him, not just half-heartedly, but the Bible says, holy. Verse 12, now therefore give me this mountain of which the Lord spoke in that day, for you heard in that day how the Anakim were there, that the cities were great and fortified. It may be that the Lord will be with me, and I shall be able to drive them out, as the Lord said. And Joshua, verse 13, blessed him and gave Hebron to Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, as an inheritance. Hebron therefore became the inheritance of Caleb, the son of Jephunneh the Kenizzite, to this day, because he, what everyone? Wholly followed the Lord God of Israel. And the name of Hebron formerly was Kirjath Arba. Arba was the greatest man among the Anakim. Then the land had rest from war. Now, I want to take a look at these verses. The verses that we just read, there is something in common, and reiterated this point, was that Caleb followed the Lord fully or wholly. It also says that the Lord calls Caleb my servant Caleb. If you look in Numbers chapter 14, verse 24, also Numbers chapter 32, verse 12, God makes a reference to Caleb as not just Caleb, but he calls Caleb my servant Caleb. In other words, Caleb is mine. This is my servant. There is a correlation, there is a relationship that is between the Lord God and Caleb. Now, it also says in other verses in our lesson that Caleb had a different spirit. Caleb had a different spirit. What was it different from? From the rest of the 12 spies, right? Besides Joshua, the other spies basically had a spirit or an evil spirit or an evil report. But Caleb, the Bible tells us that Caleb had a different spirit. In other words, the spirit that the 10 spies had, Caleb did not have. He had a spirit different from those 10 spies. Now, it also says here that Caleb and Joshua wholly followed the Lord. So it's not just Caleb, but Joshua also wholly followed the Lord. And last but not least, in Luke chapter 6, verse 45, the verse goes like this: out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. Now, how would you describe Caleb and Joshua? This is our question for the lesson on Monday. How would you describe Caleb and Joshua's attitude? The reason why we should understand their attitude is because shouldn't this be our attitude as well? You see, both men displayed faith over fear. In other words, they believed God's promises more than the giants they saw. And they also had perseverance and courage. You see, they didn't allow the fear or unbelief of others to change their own personal conviction. Amen? They also had courage and perseverance. They didn't allow the fear. They were wholehearted devoted. Their commitment wasn't half-hearted or conditional. It was consistent for decades, as we see in the life of Caleb. From age 40 all the way to age 85, Caleb was consistent and wholly devoted to God. And last but not least, they had hopeful endurance. You see, even after 45 years, Caleb's faith hadn't faded. Now, the next question on our Sabbath school lesson is, what does it mean to fully follow the Lord? Well, to follow the Lord fully is to obey God completely and not selectively. Amen? To trust God even when the difficulties come, even when the trials come, even when we go through pain or persecution. To fully trust God, to fully obey God, and to follow God means to align one's heart, mind, and actions with God's will. And to truly follow the Lord fully is to stay faithful even when others compromise or complain. I think it's about wholeness of heart, walking behind the Lord with no reservations or backup plans. You see, Caleb's faith wasn't merely intellectual, it was practical and persistent. The next question we have on our lesson is, what compromises or small compromises are the kinds of things that can keep us from fully following the Lord? In other words, what are some things that can hinder us in our walk with God? Well, the small compromises often start subtly, but often erode wholehearted devotion over time. Let's look at some examples. Fear of people's opinions more than God's approval. How many of us sometimes fear what people think of us? Another one could be neglecting prayer or study of daily devotions of Scripture, which can lead to spiritual dullness. Another one can be tolerating small sins. For example, dishonesty, or pride, or resentment, or perhaps choosing comfort over calling, avoiding risk for faith, or perhaps it's becoming spiritually complacent, assuming past faithfulness is enough for today. You're thinking, oh, I was faithful in the past, and because of that, I can carry forward in the future. Because I was faithful in the past. Well, no, faithfulness is not just in the past, but faithfulness is serving God every single day of our lives. And each small compromise chips away at the heart that once followed fully. Let's turn to Tuesday's lesson entitled The Power of Example. The Power of Example, Tuesday's lesson. We're going to be reading Joshua chapter 15, verses 16 through 19, Judges chapter 1, verse 13, and Judges chapter 3, verses 7 through 11. And the question that we're going to be answering is, what does this story tell us about the power of example? How is Caleb's attitude being reproduced in the younger generation? Well, as we look through Joshua chapter 15, verses 16 through 19, it says here, you can turn your Bibles there, it says, and Caleb said, this is Joshua 15, 16 through 19, and Caleb said, he who attacks Kirjath Sefer and takes it, to him I will give Achsa, my daughter, as wife. Verse 17. So Othniel, the son of Kenaz, the brother of Caleb, took it, and he gave him Achsa, his daughter, as wife. 18. Now it was so when she came to him that she persuaded him to ask her father for a field. So she dismounted from her donkey, and Caleb said to her, "What do you wish?" Verse 19. She answered and said, "Give me a blessing, since you have given me land in the south. Give me also springs of water." So he gave her the upper springs and the lower springs. It's interesting to note that Caleb has a lot of land, right? And Caleb promises his daughter Achsa in marriage to whoever captures Kirjath Sefer or Debir. His nephew Othniel takes the challenge, and he actually wins. Achsa later asks her father for springs of water in addition to the land he gave her, and Caleb grants her request generously. Now, the story of Caleb, Othniel, and Achsa shows that faith is learned best by example. Caleb didn't merely talk about trusting God, he actually lived it. You see, his courage and humility inspired a new generation to do great things for God. Let's take a look at our next verse, Judges chapter 1 and verse 13. It says here, "And Othniel, the son of Kenaz, Caleb's younger brother, took it, so he gave him his daughter Achsa as wife." The story here, again, is repeated, emphasizing Othniel's courage and initiative. Our last verse that we're going to look at for Tuesday's lesson is Judges chapter 3, verses 7 through 11. Judges chapter 3, verses 7 to 11 says, "So the children of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord. They forgot the Lord their God and served the Baals and Asherahs." Verse 8, "Therefore the anger of the Lord was hot against Israel, and he sold them into the hand of Cushan Rishathaim, king of Mesopotamia, and the children of Israel served Cushan Rishathaim 8 years. Verse 9, "When the children of Israel cried out to the Lord raised up a deliverer for the children of Israel who delivered them. Othniel, the son of Kenaz, Caleb's younger brother, the spirit of the Lord came upon him, and he judged Israel. He went out to war, and the Lord delivered Cushan Rishathaim, king of Mesopotamia, into his hands. And his hand prevailed over Cushan Rishathaim, so the land had rest for 40 years. Then Othniel, the son of Kenaz, died." What did we just read? Well, basically, Othniel becomes Israel's first judge after Joshua's death. And empowered by God's Spirit, he delivers Israel from oppression by Cushan Rishathaim, king of Mesopotamia. Now, we want to answer the question here in the lesson. The question is, what does this tell us about the power of example? Well, Caleb's faith-filled spirit and fearless trust in God didn't die with him. It actually inspired those who followed after him. His nephew Othniel inherited that same different spirit as we just studied before. Leadership is not just about position, but about passing on conviction. Amen? Caleb's example empowered the next generation to act boldly for God. We also saw that Othniel's victory mirrors Caleb's own as well. You see, both faced fortified cities and powerful enemies, yet both trusted God to give them success. When older believers live out courage, obedient faith, they model what it looks like to believe God's promises. And last but not least, Caleb's daughter, Achsa, showed the same boldness and spiritual insights as her father. You see, she wasn't afraid to ask for for more, not out of greed, but because she valued God's blessing and provision. The springs of water symbolize life and fruitfulness. Last question we have here for Tuesday is, how is Caleb's attitude reproduced in the younger generations? Well, we see Caleb's courage, his initiative, his dependence on God being reproduced. We see Othniel face battle without any hesitation, showing the same confidence that Caleb had when he was facing the giants such as Anakim. Now, when we look at Aksa, we see Caleb's faith-filled boldness and spiritual discernment mirrored in her confident request for blessing. You see, she believed her father's generosity reflected God's generosity. Let's go down to Wednesday's lesson entitled Humble Hero, and we're going to look at Joshua chapter 19. If you have your Bibles, Joshua chapter 19, we're going to read verses 49 through 51. Verses 49 through 51, the Bible says here, when they had made an end dividing the land as inheritance according to their borders, the children of Israel gave an inheritance among them to Joshua the son of Nun. Verse 50, according to the word of the Lord, they gave him the city which he asked for, Timnath-Serah in the mountains of Ephraim, and he built the city and dwelt in it. 51, these were the inheritance which Eleazar the priest, Joshua the son of Nun, and the heads of the fathers of the tribes of children of Israel divided as an inheritance by lot in Shiloh before the Lord at the door of the tabernacle of meeting. So they made an end of dividing the country. Now, one thing interesting, we need to answer the question, and the question is, what are the implications of the fact that the greater leader of Israel, who apportioned the land, receives the inheritance last? And what lessons can you draw for yourself regarding Joshua's attitude, and how might you apply it to yourself? Now we're going to look practical as well. Well, Joshua's attitude teaches us several personal lessons that we can apply as Christians in our journey of life. The first one that we can look at is putting others before yourself. Amen? You see, like Joshua, we're called to consider others' needs before our very own, right? Philippians 2, verses 3 to 4. Whether in ministry, work, or family, true greatness lies in humble service, not in being first, but in being faithful. In fact, Jesus said it clearly, the first shall be last. Amen? So whenever you're in the potluck line, remember to go last, because the first shall be last. Now, something interesting, another thing that we can learn is to be content with what God provides. You see, even if what we receive seems small or leftover, as we learn in the lesson by human standards, if it's from God, it's more than enough. Can you say amen? The partner that God has given you, the wife or the husband or the spouse that he has given you, is enough. Amen? It should be enough. And anything that God gives us, the car that he gives us, the house that he gives us, should be enough. And we are to be content with what God has given us. The third lesson that we can learn is to stay close to God's presence. You see, when you look at Joshua, he chose to live near Shiloh. And in Shiloh, the sanctuary was built in Shiloh. It symbolizes his desire to remain near to God's presence. Likewise, we should structure our lives so that our hearts and priorities stay centered on Christ and not on status or perhaps gain. Last but not least, we learn from Joshua that he served quietly and faithfully. You see, Joshua's reward wasn't fame, but it was fellowship with God. How many of us want fellowship with God? Our greatest joy isn't found in recognition, but in knowing that we have been faithful stewards of what God entrusted to all of us. let's transition now to Thursday, entitled Changed by Contemplation. And we look at a few verses. Contemplating the life example of great heroes of faith is essential for spiritual growth. At the same time, our ultimate example is none other than Jesus Christ, his life and his teachings. How does focusing on the life of Jesus change us? We're going to look at several verses. Hebrews chapter 12 and looking at verse 1 and 2 and 2 Corinthians chapter 3 verse 18. I'm going to read Hebrews chapter 12 verses 1 and 2. The Bible says, "Therefore, we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses," and what is the cloud of witnesses? Well, if you look prior in chapter 11, the Hall of Faith chapter, all the people that have gone before us, they passed away, but they lived a life of faith. "We are so surrounded by a great cloud of witnesses. Let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us." Verse 2, looking unto who, everyone? Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Who, my friends, better to look at as an example than Jesus Christ? Because he is our author and finisher of our faith. See, if you look at this verse, it talks about the things that weigh us down. The things that weigh us down is not necessarily sins, but perhaps it could be distractions. It could be habits that was formed in the past. It could be attitudes that hinder our spiritual growth. And then it talks about sin, which sin is, what is sin? The transgression of the law of God. Specifically, it could be tied to self-centeredness or selfishness and even pride. Now, to grow in faith, we must deliberately let go of anything that pulls our attention away from Christ. That's the only way we can grow. Now, let's look at 2 Corinthians 3, verse 18. The Bible says here, "But we all, with unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from glory to glory, just as by the Spirit of the Lord." Now, what's interesting about this verse is the transformation parts of beholding. You see, the Greek word for beholding or looking means to fix your gaze away from all else and onto one object. If I could illustrate this clearly, how many of us have ever, well, heard or maybe even done this before? You ever look at your sights, like you have a rifle, maybe none of us have done this. I served in the military for 4 years. And when I look through my scope and you're trying to focusing on the target, you have to make sure that there is no distractions, that you're looking straight dead aim at the bullseye target, right? Now, when you're aiming at it, you have to make sure that you're aiming at the dead bullseye, right? Because if not, you will do Kentucky windage, right? Which means you'll miss the target. Here, this verse in the Greek is basically saying, get rid of all the distractions and focus your attention on that one thing ahead of you, and that is Jesus Christ. Amen? Focus on Jesus. We're not to focus on the crowds, the obstacles, or even ourselves. We are to fix our eyes solely on Jesus, the perfect example of faith. He is called the author, the originator or pioneer of our faith because he started the race before us. Amen? And he is also called the finisher, the one who brings our faith to completion. As we look to Jesus, his endurance inspires our perseverance. His victory gives us hope. Amen? I want to read to you a quote. It's found in our Sabbath school lesson. It's Christ Object Lessons, page 355. Inspiration tells us, looking unto Jesus, we obtain brighter and more distinct views of God. And by beholding, we become changed. Goodness, love for our fellow men becomes our natural instinct. We develop a character which is the counterpart of the divine character. Growing into his likeness, we enlarge our capacity for knowing God. More and more we enter into the fellowship with the heavenly world, we have continually increasing power to receive the riches of the knowledge and wisdom of eternity. Now, the question is, in that lesson, what two processes work for conflicting purpose in our lives, and how can we be sure that we give room to the right one? We're going to look at Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. Romans chapter 12, you guys should know this verse already. It says here, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present yourselves a what, everyone? A living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. And do not be conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Now, the two things that we looked at is, number one, conforming to the world, which is the external pressures. And number two, transforming by the renewing of our minds, which is the internal change done by the Holy Spirit himself. When we focus on Christ, we give the Spirit permission to work from the inside out. And when we walk in the Spirit, God begins to transform our hearts and our minds. Last but not least, as we go to Friday's lesson, there are two quotes that I thought was very interesting. It says here in Friday's lesson, this is found in Patriarchs and Prophets, page 512 and 513. It says here, Caleb's faith now was just what it was when his testimony had contradicted the evil reports of the spies. He had believed God's promise that he would put his people in possession of Canaan, and in this he had followed the Lord fully. How did he follow the Lord fully? He had believed God's promise that he would put his people in the possession of Canaan. If God promised something, when God promised something to Caleb, Caleb took that promise and began to dwell upon the promises of God. How many of us dwell upon the promises of God? When God gives us a promise, how many of us, we take that promise and we claim it and we reclaim it and we reclaim it again and again and again. Amen? This is what Caleb and Joshua had done. They took the promises of God and they believed in the promise of God. And because of their belief and because they believed so much in that promise, God had allowed them to enter into the promised land. It says here that he had endured with his people the long wanderings in the wilderness, thus sharing the disappointments and burdens of the guilty. Yet he made no complaint of this. Imagine that. He went out with the children of Israel, and some of the children of Israel, well, most of them, they were complaining, right? There are a lot of complainers in the children of Israel, and even though they were complaining, Caleb and Joshua, well, specifically Caleb, did not complain. It says, but exalted the mercy of God that had preserved him in the wilderness when his brethren were cut off. Amid all the hardships, perils, and plagues of the desert wanderings, and during the years of warfare since entering Canaan, the Lord had preserved him. And now at upwards of fourscore, his vigor was unabated. He did not ask for himself a land already conquered, but the place which above all others the spies had thought it impossible to subdue. By the help of God, he would wrest his stronghold from the very giants whose power had staggered the faith of Israel. it was no desire for honor or aggrandizement that prompted Caleb's request. The brave old warrior was desirous of giving to the people an example that would honor God and encourage the tribes to fully subdue the land which the fathers had deemed unconquerable. Now, question, how did Caleb follow the Lord fully? Well, basically, he had believed in God's promises and to put that God would put his people in possession of Canaan. Now, describe the character of Caleb just off of what we read. Well, it says here that Caleb endured with his people the long wanderings in the wilderness. How many of us have endurance or perseverance? Or how many of us would like to have endurance or perseverance when we go through trials? Another thing that we notice about Caleb is that Caleb didn't complain. Caleb didn't whine. Caleb didn't argue. Caleb didn't argue with God, right? He didn't complain. Another thing that we saw was that Caleb exalted the mercy of God. Caleb wanted to give the people an example that would honor God and encourage the tribes. We also saw that Caleb was faithful to God. Now, what was the result of Caleb being faithful to God? We just read in the quote, the Lord had preserved him. The Lord also allowed Caleb and his family to see the promised land. And last but not least, the Lord gave Caleb strength, energy, and vitality even at the age of 85. He was ready for war. And why are these things so important? Well, let's look at the last quote before we close. This is Adventist Review and Sabbath Herald, May 30th, 1912. In Friday's lesson, it says here, it was Caleb's faith in God that gave him courage. What gave him courage? It was Caleb's faith in God. How many of us want to have our faith rooted and grounded, not in ourselves, but in God? Amen? It was Caleb's faith in God that gave him courage, that kept him from the fear of man, and enabled him to stand boldly and unflinchingly in the defense of the right. Through reliance on the same power, the mighty general of the armies of heaven, every true soldier of the cross may receive strength and courage to overcome the obstacles that seem insurmountable. Brothers and sisters, that means you and I. We may have access to the same strength and courage that was given to Caleb and Joshua during the times of the Old Testament. If we just have faith, not in ourselves, but have faith in who, everyone? In God. As we close, I would like for all of us to join us next week for our lesson number 9 entitled Heirs of Promise, Prisoners of Hope. Pastor Rob will be going over some theological concepts related to the promised land and their spiritual implications for those who claim all the promises found in Jesus. You don't want to miss that. Again, if you would like a free CD or DVD of this lesson study, please call 916-457-6511, or you can email us at csh@saccentral.org. That's csh@saccentral.org. Tell us your name, address, and other relevant information, and we'll be happy to send you a free copy. At this time, let us close for a word of prayer. Loving Father in heaven, we're so thankful, Lord, for the lessons of Joshua and Caleb, Father. Thank you, Lord, for their faithfulness to you. Thank you, Lord, for their examples. Father, also, we thank you, Lord, for Jesus, who is the greatest example, the author and finisher of our faith. Father, help us to be encouraged by the life of Joshua and Caleb. And Father, help us, Lord, to, to live the life that they live, not complaining, not arguing, but believing in the promises of God because you had promised. And Father, also help us, Lord, to follow the greatest example, that's Jesus Christ, in all that we do. Father, I pray, Lord, that you would help each and every individual here today, whether they be tuning in from all over the world or here present at church. Father, I pray, Lord, for those who are struggling perhaps financially, or those who are struggling emotionally, or those who are struggling with things in their home. Father, I pray, Lord, that you would help them, that you would encourage them to have faith in you, and to let them know that they are not alone. Father, we claim your promise that you said that you are with us always, even to the end of the world, and that you would never leave us nor forsake us. We ask this in the powerful name of Jesus Christ. Let everyone say, Amen.